Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. My name is Dave Hodges. I am the host of the Common Sense Show, and we endeavor to free America one enslaved mind at a time because all of our stuff is on digital. We'd ask you to join us. Please share far and wide. And again, thank you if you're listening to us on our podcast. We're still in the upper one half of 1% in the world, so we do appreciate your support. And please, again, continue to share our work. We're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. Banks are in trouble, people, and the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 says they can keep your assets. You are being a fool if you keep your retirement associated with the bank. Noble Gold can fix all that for you. Non-pressure environment. I've been a customer for 8 years. Want to find out more? Call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. And if you forget the number to get the process started, just go to DaveHodgesGold.com. Our guest is Timothy Alberino. No, he's no stranger to the Common Sense Show. We've done some great shows together, and I am fascinated by things in the sky, and particularly 3-Eye Atlas. And we're going to tell you, I think we're going to knock it out of the park here because NASA, never a straight answer, is in complete cover-up mode right now. But fortunately, there are leaks, and Tim has a hold of a lot of that stuff, and so we're going to get to it. Tim, really glad you could join us here, and you're a man after my own heart. You get to investigate things that I don't get a lot of time to do. So this is going to be fun, but also I think there's a real serious side to this too.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you again, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. 3-Eye Atlas. It's the third interstellar object. That's why the 3-Eye comes in, and then Atlas is the Hawaii group that discovered it. So it's called 3-Eye Atlas. In the beginning, I thought there was nothing to it. I thought it was much ado about nothing. And then as time went on and I heard Avi Loeb and I heard, Michio Kaku, who's probably our best new, quantum physicist out there, talk about this. I said, I better really start paying attention to this. This is interesting. And now we've seen 3-Eye Atlas come out of, the sun, the other side of the sun. And NASA's gone dark and they've issued a planetary defense warning. What the heck is going on?
Well, it is interesting that you have eminent scientists such as Loeb, such as Kaku, who are speculating, who are willing to speculate publicly that we might be looking at an artificial object. And what they really mean is a spaceship. Or alternatively, something embedded, something artificial embedded into something organic. Like a probe that's disguising itself. And I think that's seems to be the real concern. Is this a covert operation? Is this an artificial object that is attempting to disguise itself from the inhabitants of Earth or other planets so that it can maneuver close to the Earth and then do what? Unleash some sort of an assault, some sort of an operation. This sounds like the plot line of a science fiction novel, but this is literally what Avi Loeb and Michio Kaku and some others are suggesting. Now, I think Avi Loeb says publicly he doesn't think that's very likely, but we need to at least consider the possibility. It needs to be considered because it is a potential scenario. And the real question here, and the only question of relevance with 3-Eye Atlas, is whether or not this object is in fact displaying non-gravitational acceleration. That's the issue. If it is not displaying non-gravitational acceleration, then it's probably just a cometary body. If it is accelerating in a non-gravitational mode, then it is artificial, period. It's artificial. And there are, you know, there's some dispute about this. There are a few astrophysicists, such as Loeb, who believe, who have suggested, who are proposing that 3-Eye Atlas has demonstrated potentially some non-gravitational acceleration. So, of course, now it's behind the sun. It's going to reemerge mid-November, and in probably around the 14th, 15th of this month. And it reached perihelion, the closest approach to the sun, on the 30th of last month. So it's making, I was told, and I'll just tell you this, from some of my sources have told me two things, two very interesting things. Number one, that there's a lot of consternation in Washington, D.C. about this object. when I asked them, I said, consternation regarding whether or not this thing is artificial or perhaps an impact scenario, if it's natural, right? If it's organic. And he said probably both, but there's definitely some speculation in Washington, D.C. that this thing might be artificial, whatever that means. But he's definitely my source definitely has a lot of connections in Washington, D.C. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I have heard from several sources, ironically, before this 3i Atlas showed up, that there was an object coming in from deep space. And this thing is extremely large and it's moving very, very fast. And that it was scheduled to arrive, I think, in 2027. And it seems that it's artificial. This one seems to have been determined to be artificial, and it's not 3i Atlas. So the 3i Atlas sort of has some of these people who I talked to scrambling because scratching their head rather, because they were focusing on this other object that was coming in. And this other object is known to, according to my sources, the Department of Defense and Space Force and the intelligence community, and it's being taken very serious. Again, an object behind 3i Atlas, a larger object moving at three quarters the speed of light.
Do we
So,
have a size parameter on that larger
no,
object?
I wasn't told any size except it was very large. So,
Let me
if
say, go ahead. I'm sorry, Tim, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if that's true, then we might be, and this is a big might. I mean, this is, I'm just speculating. If 3i Atlas is a covert operation by a non-human species, then what we could be seeing here is the forward group, the forward operation in preparation for something coming behind it,
That's what I was going
maybe
to ask.
collecting data, maybe just surveying the Earth for this other thing that's coming behind it. Now that's wild speculation. And then I would be remiss if I didn't add in this final piece of the puzzle here. There is a video that's gone viral of Jeremy Corbell, who made a statement, I think it was in a documentary, that they're going to tell you that there's this object coming in from outer space, that it's artificial, but it's going to be a lie, he says, something to that effect. I don't know. And the people that I talked to, by the way, don't know either what exactly is going on. All they know is that 3i Atlas is anomalous. People are worried about it. And the thing behind it is a bigger deal, is an even bigger deal. That's what I've heard.
Let me throw out a couple of things here for you to comment on. I do agree there's probably a connection with 3i Atlas in the secondary object, because I've been told it's coming from the same area. In fact, it's coming from the area where we got the WOW signal in 1977, is what I've been told. And then
Oh,
what I
so you're
look
hearing
at
the same
here,
thing. You're hearing the same thing behind the scenes.
yes. And I'm still fairly well connected because of my dad's connections to Intel. And then, of course, he gets second and third generation people. And I have some connections there. And one of them is Space Force related. And that's as far as I can go with saying, who's telling me. But let me tell you what's been suggested to me as a concerned possibility. The first object is military in nature, not just surveillance. They can do that remotely if they're that advanced technologically. This is could be a military operation with 3i Atlas, and the follow-up object are colonists.
The colonists, yeah.
Have you
Wow.
heard that as well?
Well, I mean, that's sort of the scenario I was depicting earlier, is you could have a forward operation that's collecting
Yes.
data and that, or that is in some sort of a military capacity, and then you've got the purpose of that coming behind it. And that's what we would do. I mean, that's what that's the operating procedure of modern militaries, is to send a forward group and then behind it to send in the occupying group, the group that's going to actually storm the beaches and occupy. And that is actually the sort of thing that Avi Loeb is hinting at as well, is could we be looking at some kind of a military, covert military operation from a non-human species. And again, he's not saying that's what it is. He's just saying we need to be open to all of the possibilities exactly. because this object is so anomalous.
That's what a good scientist does, is consider
exactly.
possibilities. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I think that we would be stupid not to consider all possibilities if we have an object like 3I Atlas that is not conforming to what we would expect in astrophysics. It's just not conforming. The color of it, the movements, the trajectory, it all seems intentional, designed. It doesn't seem natural. Now, could it turn out to be just a natural cometary body? It very well could. I've told people that have asked me about this. I'm on the fence. I don't know. I always say it's a flip of the coin. I don't know. It very well could just be a cometary body with unusual properties that once it comes back into view, we see it for a while, and then it hurls out into deep space.
Tim, I reject that possibility, and I'll tell you why. And I think I'm on pretty solid ground with this. And I know you're being open-minded in that comment, and I'm going to say, for me, that percentage of possibility has shrunk to almost zero, and here's why. Mm. The course changes and the speed changes. And yeah. as this object reportedly approached the sun, gravitationally, it should have slowed down, and it didn't. It sped up. So we're seeing those kind of anomalous effects, and I'm understanding now that the object has changed colors, and that's from remote space probes. Yep. Then I got this on really good authority. So I don't think this is in any way, shape, or form a comet, but I do agree with your earlier assertion. It could very well be described to fool people here on Earth that this is what yes. it is. I mean, and they may have miscalculated that we have the technology to really kind of see through that. But what's also interesting to me, and I want to see what you know about this, I didn't even know we had such a thing until it was declared publicly. We have now a national planetary emergency. According to NASA.
Yeah. I would have hoped that we had such a thing. I mean, you would think that, you know, if NASA has reason to be concerned about about an object in outer space, that we would have some kind of a system, an alarm system, if you will, that can be activated where certain protocols go into motion to do something. I don't know. I mean, this is what I always wonder. Is it coincidental that Trump in his last term, that he instituted Space Force? Is that coincidental? Or was Space Force created because of something? Was there something that provoked the creation of Space Force? That's what I always wonder. Did President Trump, was he briefed on something where he determined, you know what, we need to create a new agency that is just oriented toward this problem set? It could just be space warfare. It could be satellites warfare, protecting our satellites from an attack from China or Russia or whatever. But I suspect there's something else.
I've been told something on this. First of all, when my dad was working with a German scientist, he said he was doing the theoretical aspect in non-laboratory, and it would go to the labs, and he'd be called in sometimes as a consultant to the lab work. And he said, I know this stuff was completed, and it never went to NASA. We're talking gravitational takeoff craft and things like this that could escape Earth, could escape gravity into Earth's orbit. And he told me, he said, there's clearly a secret space force. And he says, that's a deduction on my part. But he said there has to be, because they're creating mm-hmm. it for something. So yeah. that was one thing. Now, why Trump? This is what I was told by someone who used to work in Space Force. And he told me, he said, Trump had to generate more funding than a black budget could give to Space Force. And so this is the main reason he made it public. Now, what's the reason behind it? And here's the caution I have to give. The information that you get from an inside source is often compartmentalized. They only that's know right. what small role they know, but there's a whole scheme out there that's unknown to them because the intel's so compartmentalized. And what I was told was it was for military defense in space. It's why we could maintain a low manpower force in our military, because our weapons are beyond compare, but we have to protect those weapons in space, and they're needed to have more funding for it. I agree, that was part of it. But also, too, I agree with what you're speculating on here, too. That was a compartmentalized intel view. What's the entire picture? We don't know, and then we have to
Very
speak.
good.
I hope that makes sense.
Oh, that's a great point. No, you are absolutely right. When you hear information, when you've got sources, I've got sources, and when those sources say things to me, exactly what you said, that we have to understand that this is compartmentalized information. Nobody has the full picture. There are very few people who have the entire picture in front of them, and who have an understanding of the breadth and the width, the depth of these topics, because
Not
it
even
is
Trump,
so.
by the way,
Not
not
even
even
Trump,
Trump.
no, especially not the president of the United States. That's why it's been so highly compartmentalized that we've created this impenetrable web, and this is the frustration. I was talking about this on another interview the other day. This is the frustration that members of Congress are having right now, who are probing, who are attempting to get to the bottom of certain things that are going on with these aerospace contractors and crash retrievals and non-human biologicals and all of this. The web is so dense, it's so extensive that you can pull on one thread of that web and not get anywhere, because
Yeah.
it's so compartmentalized. You can get a little bit of information, but then you get blocked. You hit a wall. You get stonewalled. And because the you have project names that exist as covers for other projects, and so in regard to making queries with the Pentagon, with the Department of Defense, you have to have the precise names of certain programs, because the government, the Department of Defense, is never going to offer up information. Even if you're a congressman, they're never going to volunteer information to you. You have to make a precise inquiry. This project, what are you doing with this project? And it's a big shell game. And so it's when as these guys are battling to get oversight, and I mean at the congressional level, they're realizing how extensive this web really is. And it's that hyper compartmentalization. It's been designed to be deceptive. And in the beginning, probably with good intentions to keep our secrets from our adversaries. But now that the web of lies that has been woven, the compartmentalization exists not just to keep our foreign adversaries from finding out what we're doing, but it exists also to keep Congress and the American people from finding out what we're doing. And there's no way to circumvent this system, because nobody has the full picture. Everybody just has pieces and parts, and that's the way it's designed.
I think someone has the entire picture.
Somebody does. Yeah.
And
Well, maybe
I'll
maybe.
give you who I think is near the top level, may
Go
not
ahead.
know everything. Head of the CIA, mostly the head of MI6 or the Mossad, those interlocked intel agencies that don't work for their governments, they work with each other for various things.
There was also Majestic 12. That was why what Majestic 12 was created to do was to have a overview of the entire
The
situation:
umbrella.
alien presence, crash retrievals, reverse engineering, all of the work being done in the aerospace companies. This body was created to have oversight. I'm not sure if that body exists anymore, or if it has. Or if it has evolved into something else, but that is precisely what Majestic 12 was created to do.
It's created administrative arms below it. Let me tell you what I've been told by Intel. In fact, actually, this even goes back to what my dad told me in the 80s, that in these projects, they treat them like shell corporations. In other words, you create a fake project name. You may even put an LLC by it with a fake corporation, like somehow this is where your tech is. But if you
Right.
want to do a Freedom Information Act inquiry, you have to know what the levels are below that that are the real project names, and they don't advertise those. You'd
That's
have to
right.
actually have to have a whistleblower tell you that. You're not going to find it in print. And that's one thing. I wanted to ask you a couple things, though, okay? First of all, I want to give you two things. One, we have a race for AI. And what I've been told someone's speculation is, and they were connected to Space Force again, they believe the rush for AI, even though it's dangerous to humanity in its final steps, even though it's extremely expensive and is a tremendous drain on our resources and not very profitable, we need AI to protect the planet from something. That was one thing I was told. And they said, and if you don't think they know something, ask yourself why the CEOs of the top Fortune 500 companies are building bunkers underground.
That's right.
I haven't heard that,
but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I do know that we are the advantages of AI in every realm, in every domain are obvious, I think, especially the military advantages of AI. AI can respond to threats, for example, targeting systems, deploying certain assets, missile systems. AI can respond to threats way faster than human beings can. It can make calculations, respond to threats. And so the military application is obvious, the benefits there. And if you have a, let's just consider this hypothetical scenario for a minute. If you have an advanced alien species that is threatening the Earth, or that we know is a threat to the Earth, either one that's been here and that we've been interacting with, or one that's coming, maybe, you know, going back to these objects coming in from deep space, we have no defense against these kinds of threats. We literally have no defense. Our weapons, even the most advanced technological toys that we have, are still vastly inferior to what they have, especially Greys. And so our best defense and our best tool currently developing is artificial intelligence, because our brains cannot compete with their brains. And so if we create an artificial brain, then we are upgrading our intellectual capacity, so to speak, our ability to respond to threats, make calculations, extremely complex calculations in fractions of a second. So we're sort of creating that, exactly what you're saying. Perhaps we are creating this artificial defender of planet Earth, a network of artificial intelligence connected to missile systems and high energy weapons and who knows what else out there, integrated with our satellites, and sort of like creating I hate to make a movie reference, but building Skynet to defend planet Earth from non-human entities, again, that are either coming or are here. And we don't know, we have no recourse to defend ourselves against some of these things. So it makes perfect sense to me. And as you said, artificial intelligence is consuming the market right now, and it's going to consume much of our energy output.
Yes.
It's a huge cost to do this for us, for humanity. It's going to evaporate so much of our jobs. I mean, it's going to eviscerate the human workforce. It's going to necessitate a universal basic income. It's absolutely going to necessitate a universal basic income.
I don't think that's controversial at all, Tim. I'm seeing projections like that all the time now coming out of economists. So that's not. I want to give a disclaimer here, because I have a large Christian audience. They go, Dave, there's no such thing as aliens. And here's my answer to you. How do you know this isn't the Great Deception? But the bottom line is, if this were satanically created, it could still pose just as much of a danger as if there were really aliens, or they're artificial aliens made to think you're aliens, done by the demonic forces or the demonic one. That's my disclaimer to that. The fact is that we have incontrovertible proof about an unusual object doing unusual things.
Yeah.
And we should be concerned about it, because when someone's, it's just like a dog barking. When someone comes into the territory, you better pay attention to what's there. And it doesn't matter to me what the source of origin is. You still have to meet the enemy at the level that they're at. And this, I think this is still, if you were to ask me, Tim, and this is just Dave Hodges' personal view, I think this is spiritual warfare manifested in a physical reality. And the Bible clearly talks about the Great Deception, and I don't see anything to disprove that. So I'm not imposing that view here on anybody, but I'm just saying, don't reject it because you're hearing the word alien, because this object is real. And like I said, Tim, I first rejected this nonsense. Let me run one other thing by you, because we're doing a good job of comparing sources. I've asked military people, I've got one really ex high-ranking military source who gives me great stuff. And I went to him and I said, if you were an alien race and you were to attack the planet, how would you do it? He goes, well, I wouldn't do it like Independence Day movie with beams from craft destroying buildings and stuff. He said, that's too inefficient. He said, what they would do is they would know what would poison us, and they would basically put some temporary elements in our atmosphere, make us breathe it, and we would die. And he's the one that suggested to me, he said, why do you think many of the elite are going underground with sustainable facilities?
Well, we would, I think, an advanced species would, in my mind, if I were, again, in that scenario, if I were the alien, I would treat the human species like we treat cockroaches and fumigate them.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it would, as you said, it would not be difficult for an advanced alien species that could get here from another planet, for example, to introduce some sort of chemical agent into our atmosphere, disperse it widely around the Earth, and kill us. That would not be difficult. So getting back to the theological question here, what stops entities, what stops beings that are more advanced than us from doing that? Like, let's just contemplate this for a moment. What stops the devil from doing that? I mean, and by the way, the word alien, I know people get hung up with the word alien, but alien, the definition of the word alien is simply something that is non-human. And I would add in, I would qualify that as a sentient intelligence that's non-human. And certainly the devil and his angels are alien to the human species. They're not us. They're not human. And they don't come from the earth, by the way.
I know.
That's a biblical fact. The angels, both those loyal to the kingdom of heaven and the disloyal, the disinherited sons of God, what we call the fallen angels, their providence, their origin is not planet Earth. They are therefore, by definition, extraterrestrial.
I
There's
know.
no
I
way
know.
where you cannot you
I hear you.
can't
I
wiggle
couldn't
your way out of
agree
that
more.
one. It's a biblical fact. So
Let me give you one quote from the Bible that really reinforces that. Genesis 6, verse 4. And I think they're the descendants of these evil fallen angels are among us. And here's why I say this, Tim. The verse says, and they were there afterward. After what? The next verse is about the flood. I think because we know the Bible tells us that the fallen angels impregnated earth women. So they had offspring who were hybrids. And when we look at that, and they were there afterward, I've entertained, in fact, this is a hot topic in eschatology. I've spoken at a couple of Christian conferences about this, and I've been told by pastors, this is a big debate now among pastors, that I believe that the DNA of the hybrids survived the flood from what the Bible tells us, and I believe this explains a lot of the evil we see on the planet.
I wouldn't argue with that. I wouldn't argue with that at all. And to complete my thought on the earlier point, so what stops an alien species with more advanced technology than we have, more intelligent than we are, from just exterminating us? And the answer, the only answer that exists, the only answer that one could give that makes any logical sense at all, theologically or otherwise, is because somebody is protecting us. Somebody is stopping that from happening. And if you're coming from the Christian worldview like us, then that somebody is the King of Heaven. And the armies of heaven are keeping the bad guys in check. That's the only logical explanation. And what happens if that's true, and in my worldview, that is true, then our protection is contingent on our dominion that we have on Earth, and our allegiance to the king, and what happens in the future when God lifts his hand. And that's
Interesting.
really, I think, where we're headed. But there is no reason, and this is something that ufologists they can never answer this question adequately. The best answer I've heard from secular ufologists of why these NHI, these advanced superior non-human intelligences, don't just do away with us, wipe us out and take whatever they want from the earth. Their answer is, well, because they're farming us. We're like their cattle. You know, the cattleman doesn't go out and kill his cows. He harvests them systematically.
There's no proof for that, though.
But there's some problems with that thinking. And maybe that's happening to some extent, but there's some real problems with that thinking, especially if the objective of some of these beings is what Dr. David Jacobs defines as planetary acquisition. In that case, the only reason we haven't been dominated, especially just go back a couple hundred years when we didn't have technology, the reason we haven't been dominated and conquered is because a more advanced civilization is protecting us, i.e. the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, I would agree. In fact, let's go to the book of Revelation real quick. It says, we don't fight against our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness. And I've entertained, are they talking about here AI? Are they talking about alien beings that are non-human? But clearly, the Bible is very clear. It's not us fighting against ourselves in the end days.
That's right.
Very clear. And then the other thing that it says that, and this gets into the superior technology argument, that if Jesus didn't return for the second time, no flesh would be left alive.
That's right.
This is all
clearly culminating to something. I wrote my book Birthright I published it back in 2020.
Yep.
And I predicted that there would be, in addition to the rise of transhumanism, artificial intelligence and everything that, which wasn't difficult to predict, but, that all of these things were going to synchronize. We're going to converge the technological stuff, the transhumanist technologies. We're going to converge with the UFO topic, aliens. We're headed somewhere. We haven't reached the summit yet. We're on our way to the summit. And really what the zenith point is, that convergence is a war with God. That's really what it amounts to. It's going to culminate in what the book of Revelation calls Armageddon, in which Armageddon isn't a war with Israel. Armageddon is a war with the King of Heaven returning to the earth, because it's he who vanquishes the enemies of God at the end of the book. I mean, it's literally a war with Christ returning, and that is ultimately where all of this is heading, in my view.
The best case you could make, I think, for human against human in the end days is that it's a captured society run by something that's non-human. It does the fighting for them, proxy troops, if you will. That's about as much as I can stretch into saying the end days or China versus the U.S. or whatever it would be. Although a lot of people don't think the U.S. is going to be around in the end days. I'm not convinced by that argument, but I'm just saying that there's a lot of unknown, but the bottom line is we... Well, the Bible is very clear. The trigger leading to the end days is the rise of Israel, the recreation of Israel. And that happened in 1948. And I think that kind of set off what happened. And Tim, I'm going to tell you just my personal view. I view the CIA is the most evil, satanic organization on the earth, and good company with the Mossad and MI6. And when did they get created? Around the time that Israel came into being. And I think they're preparing for a time such as this.
Yeah, I wouldn't dispute the pervasive wickedness of the CIA and their activities. I think you're right. I think they're involved in some of the most despicable things behind the scene. I don't think people can imagine what the CIA, the depths of darkness that the CIA has been involved in. I mean, you're talking about child exploitation and trafficking and organ harvesting and the worst things you could possibly imagine.
When my dad was working with the German scientists, they under guard, they would take some of the scientists away from the facility they were at. This was in Colorado. And they would go to a remote location with heavy guard because they knew they were being infiltrated by the CIA. And my dad hated the CIA. His favorite saying was, the CIA would sell their mother down the river for a nickel.
Mm-hmm.
He hated the CIA. My dad came out of NIA, Naval Intelligence. But when he was working... with the German scientists, he was on civilian contract because he had separated from the Navy at that time. And he just had no time for them at all. But he also said, we have evidence that the CIA is working with the KGB to further the Cold War. He told me that before he died.
Yeah, it's almost as if the CIA who are they working for? That's the real question, because the things that they're doing,
not America.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. The things that they're doing don't seem to be very beneficial to the United States of America. It's like, you know, it's almost as if the CIA works for Satan. That's what it seems to me.
Let me tell you, this is a digression, but I think it fits exactly what you're saying, Tim. A guy stood up when Charlie Kirk was shot, pulled down his pants, threw his hands in the air, and yelled, "I did it, I did it, shoot me, shoot me." And his name is George Zinn. But here's what I found out about George Zinn. He did his Mormon mission near Langley, Virginia. That's not enough. He gave testimony for 9/11. He also called it a fake bomb threat. And this is all documented, fake bomb threat to the Boston Marathon bombing. And yet he never faced charges. And then he also called in another bomb threat to another marathon at a later time. I call him Decoy Boy, because when he did that, he attracts the attention. Whoever fired the shot gets away. He admitted when he was arrested, you know, "I'm going to be paid for doing this." That's a quote. And that was even in the mainstream media. Okay. Well, clearly this guy's a minimum contract agent for the CIA.
Yeah.
And what did Charlie stand for? First Amendment free speech, but clearly Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie dominated conversations with his testimony to Jesus.
That's right.
And so when you said the CIA serves Satan, I can't argue with that at all.
Yeah, I've seen things, and I got to be very, very careful here, but I've seen things behind the scenes that some things that in which the CIA is implicated that people would be aghast.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely aghast.
And if we want to go public with this broadcast, we've got to really kind of put the squelch on that there. But we could probably list five things and we'd probably match on three or four.
Probably, I'm sure.
I've heard these stories too. And I'll tell you one thing my father talked about, though. He told me, and this is about 6 months before he passed, he said there was something that came up in our discussions. He said, particularly working for the Air Force, he goes, "I don't trust them either because they were controlled by the CIA. But he told me, he said that they talked about Project Bluebeam, which would be a fake alien invasion. He said, "I don't think we have the technology at this point." And this is 1985. "I don't think he had the technology at this point to pull that off, and what that would take to fake an alien invasion, fool everybody into a one world government controlled by an evil one." But he said, "Watch for technological advancements that would make this possible." Now, in 1985, we didn't even have AI in our vocabulary. Mm-hmm. But right now, we have the technology to do such a thing.
Yeah, and the holographic technology that's been developed behind the scenes.
Have you considered that this could be Project Bluebeam? It's all designed to fool us?
I am willing to consider that in regard to 3i Atlas.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to.
I certainly am willing to am considering the possibility that this whole thing is being staged for some reason. And the implications are very interesting. If that's true, then the question is 3i Atlas an object? Is it actually an object? Or are they using some sort of technology to that can, you know, you'd have to use some sort of a technology that's going to be able to fool astronomers looking through telescopes, high powered telescopes. So it wouldn't necessarily be holographic. So that's a stretch to me. And then the only other possibility would be that we have some kind of a craft that's ours way out there that we're controlling and we're bringing in. That we planted way out there a long time ago, and now we've decided to bring it in. I really can't conceive of any other scenarios.
That makes a lot of sense. But I would say this too: with technology that's more primitive than our cell phones, we've already had a satellite leave our solar system.
That's what I'm saying.
So very bizarre messages back, and I'm talking.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about. So
exactly right. So, but in regard to the premise of Bluebeam, you know, the idea is a lot of people have they're very binary in their thinking when it comes to Bluebeam. It's either everything's fake, everything's being faked, or everything's real. And I always encourage people to be more complex in their thinking. It's probably a mix of those two things. Hmm. So it's likely a mix of those two things. Like, there's no question, Dave, there's no question that we have non-human crash retrievals and non-human biologics.
I would agree
no
with
question.
You.
Yeah. We have them. I know that for sure. We have them, and they're not ours. Now, is a lot of the stuff out there ours? Probably, but there's things that are not ours, things that we've been recovering for decades, things that are technology that's much more advanced than anything we could conceive of even today, that there are non-human biologicals associated with these crash retrievals. They crash and they die, and they are biological creatures. Now, you can say, well, they're meat suits for demons, or however you want to spin this, but there's technology, there's functional technology, and there's biological beings that are non-human. That is a stone cold fact.
Let me ask you this. Why do they abduct humans?
Well, the abduction phenomenon, this is a specific faction. You're talking about the insectolins. And it's the insectolins who have progenerated the gray aliens. I say progenerated because they've manufactured them. And the grays are the, you know, of course, the small guys with the bulbous heads and the large almond-shaped eyes. But those creatures are manufactured by the insectolins, apparently. And the abduction program is clear in its objective. The objective, and we don't know why this is happening precisely, but we know what is happening. And what's happening is they are creating human-alien hybrids. And apparently, their plan is to introduce these hybrids into human society covertly. And this is what they've been doing. It is a breeding program and has been for decades. And the abduction program goes back only as far as I can tell, and there's a consensus among the old school abduction researchers such as David Jacobs, Bud Hopkins, and others, that the abduction phenomenon doesn't go back further than the mid to late 1800s. So the program has been maturating for all of these years, and the question is, what is the final objective of the breeding program? And if you ask Dr. David Jacobs, his answer would be what I cited earlier, planetary acquisition. In other words, they're here to take over. But they're definitely integrating according to, and by the way, I've heard people say on UFOX that, well, the abduction phenomenon was happening back in the 80s and 90s. It's not happening anymore. That's not true. I have abductees coming to me all the time, and their stories conform precisely to the abduction material that's been accrued over decades of good research. And most of these people, the vast majority of them, by the way, are Christians. Some of them are pastors, leaders of ministries. These are committed Christians, abductees, they and their children. And so the program has not concluded. It's moved into perhaps its final phase, or where it's culminating to a final phase, but it's not concluded. It is ongoing. And I think that the abduction phenomenon is the greatest threat. The breeding program, whatever the machinations of the insectolins are, that's the primary threat that we're facing on planet Earth. Not something coming in from outer space. We have a clear and present danger here. And we talked about the dastardly things that the CIA is doing. One of the worst things that I think elements of the intelligence community, elements of the Pentagon have been involved in are agreements, bargains that have been struck with these non-human entities, we've allowed them to do. And by the way, I used to talk about these topics years ago, you know, a few years ago. And I was very convinced in my mind, based on the data, that these things were true. I've sort of moved into another phase. Now I am behind the scenes communicating with people. I can't say who, but I'm communicating with individuals behind the scenes. Now I know that these things are true. And I was the other day, I was talking to somebody about this, how there's a divide. There's a vast divide now that's forming between what I describe as the upper echelon conversations versus the conversations that are happening among the general populace in regard to
like the UFO testimonies in Congress that are very low level.
Well, what I'm saying is in the public sphere, we're still debating whether or not you know, there's a crash retrieval program, exactly. Whether or not their aliens exist. We're still debating this down here at this level. At the upper echelons, people are far beyond this. And I'm talking about the governmental level. People are beyond this. Now it's like, what do they want? What is the agenda? What have they been doing here? What are the bargains that have been struck? What elements of the Pentagon or the aerospace contractors, the military industrial complex, are involved not just in recovering some craft and reverse engineering, but with the entities themselves? Those are the upper echelon conversations. We've moved way beyond, are these things real?
I agree.
And that's I suppose that divide has always been there. And, you know, so sometimes it's frustrating listening to all of the chatter at the lower level and the debate concerning whether or not these things are real when you're being, and I know I think you're familiar with this situation as well, where meanwhile you're being exposed to proof, to realities that concretize these ideas. It's not, again, do we have crash retrievals? It's what technologies have we derived from them? Where is the technology sequestered among these different aerospace contractors? And what in the world are we doing with this technology?
Well, you know, you're right.
Those are the essential questions.
The AI thing, I've talked to people that have investigated that. I'm starting to do a series on that. They can't get information. It's as guarded as classified information with the CIA. So clearly they're up to something with AI. The other thing I'll just share an anecdote with you. Father, Intel, and they used to recruit, you know, father, son, I'm sure they still do. Mm-hmm. And so I was recruited to the Naval Academy. My dad says, no, we're going to stop that unless you want to have the life I had where I was gone all the time and blah, 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 and couldn't tell you things. So my dad blocked it. Okay, I'm 24 years old, and I knew a guy, kind of, from playing basketball, you know, rec basketball, knew his girlfriend, and they wanted to set me up on a double date. And I said, I don't go on blind dates. You got to be blind to go on it. But anyway, they talked me into it. So I meet her. They leave. The guy ends up going to work for the CIA. Okay, I'm not kidding. Maybe he was when I met him. And so I'm talking to her, and she's really attractive, very intelligent. And she said, I'm a teacher. And I said, well, what do you teach? And I thought for second grade. She goes, I teach hybrids. I said, what? I didn't know what a hybrid was, Tim. I never heard the term before. And she said, well, we have on this planet a combination of alien and human babies. Now, I thought this woman was schizophrenic. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. I wish I could relive that night because I would have explored this and found out everything I could. I just didn't know. But Tim, I take that anecdotal experience here and apply it to what you're saying. I think I accidentally happenstanced upon something, and I think I was being recruited to be part of something by this.
I think so.
Yeah, and because
I think so. And let me tell you something. I have to be very careful here, but let me tell you something. I was given some information and actually photographic evidence of a human-alien hybrid that we manufacture. And the Greys have their program. But we have, I have no way to validate whether or not the image is real, and I won't publish it. But I did run it through AI software, a half a dozen of the best software online. You know, the AI software where you can upload a picture and AI assesses it to see if it was generated with artificial intelligence or Photoshop or something like that. I don't know if you're familiar with that software.
Right.
AI is really good at detecting AI. And every single one, all six of them came back that it's not artificial. It's not been artificially generated. Not Photoshop, not artificial intelligence.
What does it look like?
Well, let me tell you the purpose of it, and then I'll tell you what it looks like. The purpose of this being so we have a problem in the crash retrieval program. We've had a problem for decades. Some of this craft, I'm going to use the word alien craft. The interface, the interface with the craft is not through a control panel. It's through the mind. It's telepathic. It's psionic. This is the new term. And the problem is that even the most quote unquote psychically active humans still have a hard time controlling the craft. They can get it to hover. They can get it to do certain things. But we don't have the kind of control over this technology that the aliens do, because they are extremely telepathic. Their telepathic capabilities are far more advanced than our own. And I've said it many times, I believe that the human species is inherently a telepathic species, that Adam and Eve had these capabilities, remote viewing, all of it. But that because we've degenerated, we've lost the extraordinary capabilities of our original progenitors. So now we have, as I said, individuals who are less broken, let's say, who are more activated. Some of these, by the way, abductees, going back to alien abductees, this psionic capability is heightened. It's, some would say, activated. I think it's already present in them. I think they have this latent capability. Mm-hmm, they have a genetic predisposition toward these psychic capabilities. And the Greys maybe genetically modify them and their children so that they sort of dial up that capability so that they can interact with them better, control them, and do whatever else they're doing with them, with abductees. So the problem we've had in the retrieval program is we have the technology. In some cases, we have craft that are intact, like the one Bob Lazar worked on, the so-called sports model saucer. We have the technology. It's functional. We kind of understand how it works. We can reverse engineer certain components, but we cannot fully engage with the operating system because it's telepathic.
I've heard the same thing.
So what have we done? Well, we've done what I think is actually the next logical step in this process, allegedly, is we've created a human gray alien hybrid of our own, that we've manufactured the pilot. So, you know, if you've banging your head against a wall in one of these USAP programs, these unacknowledged special access programs, where they're attempting to reverse engineer this technology, you have to come up with creative solutions, because you're not going to quit trying to understand and control this technology. No nation would do that. So if you can't control the craft, then you create a pilot that can. You manufacture the pilot. And that's what I've been told that this photograph is representative of. It is a human alien hybrid, a human gray alien hybrid that we manufactured, we genetically engineered specifically for the purpose of piloting the craft, because it's engaging with the craft telepathically, psionically. And it looks like what you would imagine a cross between a human and a gray alien. It looks probably more human than gray, but it has no hair. It has no ears. It has a nose and a mouth, but it's very strange. Overly large eyes, not black, but overly large eyes. It appears to be wearing a bodysuit, just like the grays wear, a tight bodysuit. There were two of them in these photographs. It was allegedly a crash. They were experimenting with some technology. These beings were piloting a craft. It crashed. One of the beings died. The other one was injured. So they had, both of them were quite bloody. And again, my initial reaction to the photograph was, you know, this could be artificial. This could be AI. I mean, you never know anymore. Now it's never been published anywhere, and I was not told to publish it. So it wasn't being given to me to publish. And that's why I haven't published it. And I have to be very careful protecting the people who gave it to me. But the photograph, as I said, it is not artificial intelligence. It's not Photoshop, and it's not AI. Again, I ran it through at least six.
Okay, Tim, we're going to have to hold it here, and we're going to have to do a part two, because we're flat out of time. This is a fascinating story. I can see how they might combine the DNA of the survivor to humans. This makes perfect sense, because I know we've done it with animals.
That's right.
So that makes a lot of sense to me. And I'm sorry to get out of here so quick, because it's so fascinating, but tell me how people can follow your good work. The audience is going to want to know.
You can follow me on social media, YouTube, X, and Instagram. I have a TikTok account too, but I don't engage with it very much. But my handle's the same everywhere, at Timothy Alberino. I also have a members community where there are things I can say, as you know. There's things that you can say in a private setting that you could never publish on YouTube.
I hear you.
It's my members community where I'm really discussing things that would get me in trouble on YouTube. It's thealberinoanalysis.com.
Okay. Tim, thanks so much for coming on. I want to do a follow-up because we just touched on this. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. The next few months are going to be interesting. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thank you, Dave.